The first reading is from the book of Leviticus, from chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all people, I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, "Come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary." So they came out and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses ordered. This is the word of the Lord. Please sit for the second reading, which is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. From verse 1 to verse 7. To verse 9. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." This is the word of the Lord. So we continue to worship God as we hear his word proclaimed. And again, I remind you, today is Ascension Day. 40 days after he was resurrected, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven in a cloud. And when he ascended, he was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all authority having been given to him. And the verse that we look at particularly this evening is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "He, Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right side of God. He sat down. Note that. You know, of Jesus, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, he's the radiance of the glory of God. He upholds the universe by his powerful word. Jesus is God's beloved Son. He's the heir of all things. He sustains the universe by his word. Jesus is actually the greatest and final revelation of God to man. You know, we heard from verse 1 that before, in previous times, God revealed himself to man in various methods. You know, prophets spoke on his behalf, kings ruled on his behalf, priests mediated on his behalf. But in Jesus, we have the greatest and fullest and final revelation of God. So to consider just how significant Jesus, just how great Jesus is, consider this. In the Old Testament, we learn that God required the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God killed the beast to cover their nakedness. You know, fig leaves were not enough. They were inadequate. You know, for Adam not to die under God's judgment, an animal had to die. You know, likewise, God provided a ram for Abraham so that Isaac would live. In the covenant on Mount Sinai, animals had to die so that the Israelites could live. For without the remission of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You know, God is holy and will destroy sinners who do not regard him as holy. And God will not tolerate those who are especially casual about his holiness. Now, as shocking as a story it is of Nadab and Abihu, you know, the two sons of Aaron, God is holy. He will not be treated casually. You know, he had laid out how he would be worshipped in rigid rules. You know, the priests had to purify themselves before they could stand God. They couldn't just get up in the morning and think, I think I'll light a fire outside the camp for God. And they couldn't sacrifice any old crippled lamb to God. Neither could they come before God in trainers and a t-shirt. The way they dressed, the way they conducted themselves, the way they sacrificed the animals, all these things were rigidly prescribed. And these two sons of Aaron ignored all these. You know, they casually entered into the presence of God and offered fire that was not authorized, and for that they were consumed by fire on the spot. God struck them down on the spot. Now, Aaron's response and reaction is not recorded, but we can see from what Moses said to him that he wasn't pleased. But Moses said to his brother, "No, this is what the Lord said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before the people, I will be glorified. I will not be treated casually. If you come near me, treat me as holy, or you will die." Now, it was a stunning privilege for Moses and Aaron and all the Levite priests to serve God face to face, as it were, with his holiness in the tabernacle, in the temple. It was a stunning privilege to offer sacrifice for the covering of sin and for the transgression of the people. But it was a holy and sanctified privilege. It was not casual. So Nadab and Abihu paid for it. Not only did they die by being burnt, you know, their corpses were then cast out of the camp. Even in death, God was saying, "I want nothing to do with them." The memory of them was of dishonor and exclusion from the commonwealth of God in Israel. And you know the rest of the history of the Israelites from Leviticus onwards. It was a life of constant sacrifice. The greatest responsibility of the priest was to offer sacrifice to God on behalf of the people. You could not be vegetarian and be a priest. You had to kill doves, goats, bulls, lambs, and you had to eat some of the sacrifice. And Passover was the bloodiest time of the year, when the whole nation would gather in Jerusalem to sacrifice thousands of animals for the covering of the sins of the nation. Each priest meticulously doing his part in case he was struck down by God. And this was repeated every year. Every year Passover was repeated. Why was Passover repeated every year? Why was continual sacrifice made every year? Well, it's simple. People didn't stop sinning. Now, as soon as Passover was done and you were walking back home, you started accruing sin for next year's Passover. As soon as one sacrifice is done, the need for the next sacrifice started. Now, there was a certain futility to these sacrifices. Now, what was the point of them all if they did not work as a permanent solution? You know, once you got over the smell of goat this year, you prepared yourself for next year's eau de goat. What was the point of all these sacrifices? Millions of goats, bulls, sheep, doves sacrificed over centuries and centuries. Christ was the point. All this futility pointed to Jesus. You know, fig leaves could not take away the stench of Adam's rebellion. Neither could the blood of bulls take away the stench of sin before God. The blood of a dove could never atone for the sin committed by the Israelites. The blood of lambs could never take away the sin of Israel. Couldn't take away our sin. No, it was only a temporary cover from God's wrath, as a piece of plastic covers temporarily covers a broken car window. You know, the blood of lambs could never have taken away our sin. Only the blood of a man could atone for the sin of a man. Man's sin can only be paid for by a man. So it is of Jesus that John the Baptist proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What bulls, lambs, and doves could not achieve, the Lamb of God can. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was a Passover that Jesus died to take away the sin of the world. Not covering them up, not sweeping them under the rug, but taking them away, taking the punishment for our sin on himself. And in those 3 hours that he suffered in darkness, cut off from God and cut off from all that is good, he paid the penalty for our sin, the sins of the world, our sins, the adultery he paid for on the cross, the lies we tell, Christ paid for on the cross, the blasphemy when you casually take God's name in vain by exclaiming, OMG, Christ died for. The envy of your neighbor and his property, Christ paid for that with his life. Whatever sins you have committed, even the murder in your heart when you have hated your neighbor, brother, or child, Christ died for on the cross. Christ died for you. Christ died for all your sins. But after he died, he did not stay dead. Death could not hold him. He took up his life again. The Father and the Spirit raised him to life. And after he was raised, Christ ascended to heaven, crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God gave him a name above all names, at which name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. But note what it said in Hebrews 1 verse 3, our key verse. Christ sat down. Christ sat down at the right hand of God when he ascended. Christ did not ascend to go and stand. He is seated. No earthly priest, no Levite, Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, no one could enter the presence of God, the tabernacle, and sit down. Aaron could not enter and sit down, the greatest high priest. To do so was to be consumed by God's holy fire. No priest could go and offer the blood of animals in God's holy presence and then think to brush his hair or freshen himself while he was doing his business. He would go in, do what he had to do, come out. Because you were playing with your life if you did anything else. You could not even sit down. But not Christ. Christ sat down. Christ did not have to repeat his sacrifice. Christ, when he entered, did not think, let's start preparing for next year's Passover. He died once, and once was enough. He offered himself once, and once was enough. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. That's why he ascended and sat down. Job done. It is finished. Christ ascended and sat down. He is enough. There is no sacrifice that you could bring to God for his forgiveness. Not a bull, not a sheep, not a dove, not penance, not acts of kindness, nothing. You are not enough. You know, the greatest lie that you can believe is to think that you're enough. Only Christ is enough. So I ask you this evening, do you know that Christ is enough? Do you have sins that you think, these are too big for Christ? No. He is enough. He sat down. He paid for the heinous, most heinous of sins that you may have committed. Do you know that he has died for all your sins? Not half of them and then left you to make up the rest. Not some of them and then you have to flagellate yourself to pay for the rest. Christ paid for all of them. Christ died for all of them. Such is the perfection of his death for your sins, that when he was done, he sat down. Heed the words of the creed, which we rehearsed a few moments ago. Christ is sat at the Father's side. Heed also the words of the prayer of consecration as we come to the table. Christ offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the world. So, in the words of the hymn we sung right at the beginning, this evening, look to Christ who is in the heavenlies, who in his ascension is sat at the Father's side for your salvation. Christ is enough for you. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the great gift of salvation, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, who did everything to save us completely and to save us to the uttermost. Heavenly Father, help us to see him seated at your side for us and for our salvation. Amen.